Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Oh, you gotta love fantasy football, where Case Keenum and CJ Beathard were top five quarterbacks this week. Austin Eckler and Isaiah Crowell, top five running backs. Robert Woods and Chester Rogers, top five wide receivers. Garrett Selleck, not a huge shock. Jermaine Gresham, top five tight ends. Let's recap Sunday's action. Let's recap Week 10 with Heath Cummings and Jamie Eisenberg. I'm Adam Azer. Jamie, star analyst of the week. Nice work. This is what, two of the last 3 weeks? You got the number one quarterback with your start of the week, or two of the last four?
You mean with Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
I don't remember how long ago Cousins was, but yes,
it was this
season,
to get
Jared Goff as the start of the week, correct?
Yeah, man. Way to go. Kirk Cousins, that was 31 fantasy points against San Francisco in Week 6. And here in Week 10, I think 31 or 32 for Jared Goff. Beautifully done. Well done. And Heath
all
Cummings.
All in the second half.
Yeah, all in. Were you nervous?
Oh, yeah.
I bet your Twitter mentions changed quite a bit that second half.
It wasn't too bad. I think, you know, more people were waiting to pile on in the second half.
There you go. Heath, what was your best call this week?
Waiting for Sterling Shepard.
Waiting.
He's here.
Oh.
He's healthy. He's spectacular.
You got a little nervous when he held that hammy.
Oh, I was very nervous. I tweeted that he pulled his hammy. That should have been a long catch. He definitely tweaked it on that play,
yeah.
But he came back out. They threw it to him like 17 times in garbage time. And he had he had 97 yards before that final drive. But yeah, he was one of the only Giants that's actually trying. That team is, if like, you should feel embarrassed for being a Giants.
I think they're trying on offense. They got to get paid.
Their offensive line is not trying at all.
It's looked like that for years. But I think Sterling Shepard is going to be your receptions leader this week as we enter Sunday night. He had 11 catches. I don't see anyone who had more than 10. Larry Fitzgerald had 10. I believe Sterling Shepard will, unless somebody gets 11 Sunday night or Monday night, will lead the NFL in catches this week, so stud in PPR. All right, welcome to the show, everybody. We got big news for you. We got to talk about Robert Woods and his massive back-to-back games. Devontae Adams was a winner today. Mark Ingram was a winner today. The Saints defense appears to be pretty legit. I got a great SeatGeek story that you might find interesting. We're going to talk about underwear later, too. And our email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Let's start with the big news. Devontae Freeman left with a concussion. Everybody, Tevin Coleman is universally owned, but he had a lot of work today and a good game. Aaron Jones was carted off with a leg injury in the first quarter. Then Ty Montgomery came in, played pretty well, and then he left with a rib injury, which is something that he dealt with earlier this year. So Jamal Williams, 8% owned, 20 carries, 67 yards. Really just hasn't been very good when he's gotten work, but he got 20 carries for the Packers. And then Rob Kelly left with a leg injury. Those are your three running back news items. And Samaje Perine got more work. Jamie, any quick reactions? Freeman, Aaron Jones, Ty Montgomery, Rob Kelly, all injured in Week 10.
There was a tweet from Panthers linebacker Thomas Davis that he said he thought Freeman was concussed in their game last week.
Oh, yeah.
And that he should have been pulled from that game. So that was, I thought, interesting that another player talking about another player being concussed.
Yeah,
so
there's enough.
Freeman may be looking at a multi-week injury.
Enough concussion controversy, and yeah, it's a good point. So Coleman and Teron Ward, right, the third stringer there, now becomes something.
Yeah, I mean, but obviously Coleman, you saw 20 carries, and we've said this for the last couple of weeks because Freeman's been banged up with a hamstring, with a shoulder, knee injury. That if Coleman, it's the same thing like with the Titans running backs. If Coleman or Henry ever got a full workload, they could be, you know, top 10 type running backs, and Coleman's got that potential even next week against Seattle.
Coleman, 20 carries, 83 yards, and a touchdown. For some reason, just not catching passes. He has 4 catches in his last 5 games, including Sunday's win over Dallas. And then the other news item, Heath, is Jameis Winston. He could miss an extended period of time, apparently. I guess it's not a huge shock. We knew he would miss at least 2 weeks, which would be this week against the Jets and next week at Miami. How concerned should Mike Evans owners be with this news?
A little bit. Like, there wasn't as much Fitz magic as we were all hoping for today. He completed 50% of his passes and averaged like 5 yards per attempt. So he was not good at all. The one thing I feel relatively confident in is when Mike Evans is on the field, Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to absolutely pepper him with targets. So it won't be the most efficient production, but Mike Evans has never really been an efficient producer. He's always had a pretty low catch rate. So I still think he's going to be pretty close to a must-start wide receiver.
What about DeSean Jackson? Might we be seeing the best of DeSean Jackson or in the rearview mirror? As he, you know, he had a good enough game today. He had 6 catches for 82 yards on 10 targets.
I mean, I still think he's going to be in that category of borderline boom bust number 2 wide receiver. We had him ranked higher this week, and he was fine. He had eight points in a standard league, I guess, 14 in PPR. That's pretty good. Yeah, I think he's going to fall down, and he's probably ranked more in the low 20s.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's talk week 10, winners and losers. We start with Jamie's winners. And Jared Goff is one of your 2 winners. He was the start of the week. He scores 32 fantasy points with 7 touchdown passes in his last 2 games now against the Giants and the Texans. It's going to get harder at Minnesota, New Orleans, at Arizona, Philadelphia, at Seattle, at Tennessee, San Francisco to finish the season. But, so Goff, and I think if you just want to talk about the Rams passing game, give me your thoughts, Jamie.
They look great today. Second half was huge, you know, after a little bit of a struggle. Now we see if he's going to be a good to great fantasy quarterback as he's been the last few games. You know, I mean, the Cardinals game in London was probably the toughest matchup, and he came through that with a strong performance. We'll see if Minnesota gets Everson Griffin back. He missed this game against Washington. That's a big part of that Minnesota pass rush. But he's got to go on the road to a tough, you know, tough opponent. So you have to downgrade him a little bit, but if he's been your guy, you stick with him. So Robert Woods was fantastic. He's now been fantastic for 2 straight games. I got a little bit nervous with Sammy Watkins. He came up hobbled a little bit toward the end of the first half, but he came back, got the touchdown. Cooper Kupp, you know, he's going to just kind of be what he is. I don't know if you want to call him a boomer bust number 3 wide receiver, but, you know, he just hasn't been producing. We said this, I think, going into the weekend. We haven't seen all 3 guys play well at the same time.
That's hard.
So
Kupp, that's really
the other
hard.
2 guys are going is clearly the number 3 guys. So.
But Kupp still gets more targets than Watkins. Like, Watkins has been, can we call him lucky the last 2 weeks?
If I could get anything for Sammy Watkins today or tomorrow, I would be. He's got 5 targets in his last 2 games in 20 fantasy.
I would say the same thing for Woods because his value is so high and you picked him up off waivers.
Yes, either one of these guys.
But I trust Woods to be what he was before these last 2. Like they've taken advantage of 2 great matchups at the Giants and home against Houston. And their next 2 games are at Minnesota and home against New Orleans. But I at least trust Woods to be what he was before, which is like 5 catches, 65 yards, which is pretty
reliable.
Yeah, no, he
has a very nice floor. It's just his ceiling is through the roof right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, the value is so high right now. Heath, I think I cut you off. What were you saying?
I kind of feel like you're probably seeing what you can get for Jared Goff, too. This is not a very good schedule the rest of the way. He has been absolutely everything you ever dreamed of. We saw him, though, at the beginning of the year was amazing. And then he had a 3 or 4 game stretch where he was pretty mediocre. I think there's a pretty decent chance he goes back to that towards the end of the season.
Who would you rather have, Goff or Phillip Rivers? We know because Rivers has that dream schedule coming up.
Right.
Rivers.
I'm going to take Rivers. Yeah.
Goff or... how about, man, it's tough because
I'll tell you the interesting one is
Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is what I was going to say. Goff or Matt Ryan?
Ryan.
Breeze is the one that worries me.
Breeze is playing so well. Like this.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
This game was so frustrating if you're a Breeze owner. They got inside the 10 so many times. He even threw a couple of balls in the end zone, but they just keep handing it off, Heath. It's crazy.
Yeah, he threw the ball 25 times. He has 1 game in his last 5 now with more than 31 attempts. We kind of, you know, overlooked what you were saying about a month and a half ago when you were talking about how Drew Brees' pass attempts were down because he was only throwing the ball 37 times. We would give anything for Drew Brees to throw the ball 37 times now.
Yeah. The thing is, I just keep coming back to, we've had this conversation about Drew Brees before in previous years, and he always gets his 30 touchdowns. He always gets it. It's like 8 years in a row off the top of my head or something with 30 touchdowns for Drew Brees. He can't even be close to that pace right now. You can tell me if you want to look it up how many passing touchdowns. He actually had a rushing touchdown today. So, Jamie, do you think it's going to turn around for Drew Brees in terms of fantasy points? He is playing well, but he's just not putting up the numbers. Do you think that's going to happen?
I mean, I like his opportunity next week at home against the Redskins.
Yeah, but what about rest of the season? Just, is it even a question for you, Breeze or Goff?
I still take Breeze. I just feel more comfortable with him. At some point, there's going to be some, you know, big games ahead. You know, he was a little bit unlucky because he had a couple, you know, he had the Josh Hill fumble.
Yeah.
In the red zone. Not that he was going to score, but, you know, who knows if that's a touchdown. He gets that second touchdown and we're probably not as nervous. But,
or he was a little bit lucky because he had a rushing touchdown. He doesn't really ever get those.
Sure. But you would think that they were in the red zone enough times that he's going to get one.
Yeah. Well, they had six rushing touchdowns in this game, I think. He had one of them. And, it's just weird.
They're a running team. They should just run the wishbone.
The other thing they don't really have is a great red zone target. You know, they don't have Jimmy Graham anymore and they're not throwing it to Michael Thomas there. So I don't know. I just feel like Heath, you use the term touchdown regression a lot. I just feel like law of averages tells me some of these Ingram touchdowns and Kamara touchdowns will become Breeze touchdowns at some point.
If he goes back to just throwing it 35 times a game, I completely agree with you. And he's probably got a little bit of touchdown regression coming anyway. But if he's throwing the ball 31 or fewer times and they're crushing teams, no, he's not going to be a good fantasy quarterback.
That brings us to Jamie's second winner, the New Orleans defense, with a great performance in a throttling of the Bills in Buffalo today. The final score 47-10. So, yeah, you're buying in, huh? I mean, you've been buying in.
That was more just to poke fun at you.
Well, you remember who the number one scoring defense in the NFL was last year?
No.
It's Patriots. And everybody said they're not that good. They're not bad, but they're not this good because they have played a terrible, terrible schedule. And look, they're obviously a solid defense, the Saints, but I don't know if they're a defense. Like, what are you doing with Kirk Cousins next week? You sitting him against the Saints?
I mean, Kirk Cousins had two rushing touchdowns today. You're going to count on that happening again?
No, I'm just asking.
I did my quarterback rankings already, and he's 17.
Wow.
That's really maybe not as low as you think it is, Adam, because we're finally out of the – or no, we have one more week of buys left?
Yeah, there's four teams on a bye, but the quarterbacks on a bye are the 49ers,
Colts.
The Jets.
The Colts are on the bye?
And the Panthers.
And the Colts, am I right?
And the Colts, yes. Yeah. So you're losing Cam essentially as a must-start guy.
He threw for 327 yards against the Vikings.
Oh, Cousins played very well, but I think you know, having to play in New Orleans with the way this defense is playing,
yeah,
could be tough for him.
Okay,
guys, I may have a couple spots too low, but I can't put him higher than 14th. What I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, well, thank you for poking fun at me. I appreciate
that.
Heath, your winners this week are Davante Adams and Mark Ingram. Davante Adams.
I feel like we've kind of whispered the last couple weeks, and not wanting to say it too loudly. Is Davante Adams just better than Jordy Nelson now? And I'm going to go ahead and just say it. Davante Adams is just better than Jordy Nelson now.
Better in fantasy? Better in fantasy or better in football?
Yes.
No, come on. Yeah,
Jordy Nelson, for the most part, is not getting separation.
Okay.
And
not for the most part. He's not getting separation.
Well, he did have that one play last week where they forgot to cover him, and he had a lot of separation on that play. Brett Hundley just didn't see him. I think maybe we underrated the connection that there was there between Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson. We saw Rodgers without Jordy. He wasn't near as good. Mm-hmm. We're seeing Jordy without Rodgers. He's not near as good. They can make the types of plays that Brett Hundley is just not going to make. And so you need some different types of skills that Davante Adams seems to have. This is the second week in a row where he's just out-targeted, out-caught, out-produced Jordy Nelson with Brett Hundley. I think that needs to be the expectation for the rest of the season. Davante Adams is the Packers' number one wide receiver.
He also caught a touchdown at Minnesota when Hundley took over in week 6. So I'll ask you this. They got Baltimore in week 11. Are you starting Davante Adams? He's only started in 39% of leagues. He had 90 yards and a touchdown. Are you starting Davante Adams? Are you dropping Jordy Nelson?
I almost dropped Jordy Nelson this week. If it hadn't been for Matt Forte becoming them deciding he was going to be inactive on Friday, I would have dropped Jordy Nelson in a league. So I think there is a very good chance I will end up dropping Jordy Nelson in a league this week.
Let me just run some of the wide receiver waiver wire guys for you. Would you rather have Jordy Nelson or these guys? Robert Woods is 69% on.
Yep.
Woods.
Marquise Lee is 58% on.
Lee.
Jameson Crowder is 39%
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I'm excited about Crowder. Yeah.
Marquise Goodwin, 28% on, but on a bye.
I'll take Jordy.
Yeah, You probably don't have to pick up Goodwin because he'll probably sit there until next week.
All right, so that's probably the extent of it. I don't think anybody's dropping Jordy for Kenny Golladay or Dontrell Inman. The running backs, you'd rather have right now Jamal Williams or Jordy Nelson?
Jamal Williams is the one I really struggle with because he's bad.
So is Perine. They're both bad, you know, but they're going to get 15 carries?
Right.
Would you rather have Theo Riddick or Jordy Nelson?
In a PPR league, I'll take Riddick.
I think I'd go Jordy.
Rod Smith or Jordy Nelson?
Jordy. Hey, listen.
I don't know what the purpose of having Jordy Nelson on your roster is.
Danny Woodhead or Jordy Nelson?
Woodhead for sure.
Yeah, probably Woodhead.
That's where he's at.
The Cowboys, we got to talk about that game because it appears that the biggest loss for the Cowboys was not Ezekiel Elliott. It was Tyron Smith.
It's not even close.
It was Smith, right? You agree?
Of course.
They gave up 8 sacks, 6 to Adrian Claiborne, who consistently abused whichever left tackle
that wasn't even abused. Air would have been a better defensive presence.
Air.
A better blocking presence. He ran right by him on 3 of those sacks.
Yeah, it's awful. I used to play air guitar in high school. Play some air left tackle in Dallas. So Devontae Adams is one of Heat's winners. The marking ram, 21 carries, 131 yards, and 3 touchdowns for Mark Ingram this week for the Saints. That was awesome, Heath.
Yeah, and there was a little concern that Alvin Kamara was getting more red zone touches last week, I feel like, and that there's no reason to be concerned with that. Both of these guys are going to be awesome. They're going to have leads. They're going to run the ball. And even last week when Kamara had the much better week, Ingram still had more carries. In this game, he out-carried him 21-12. A little bit strange that he didn't have any receptions.
Yeah.
But I'm not worried about it.
That's because Breeze doesn't throw the ball anymore.
That's true. Fair.
Does Alvin Kamara feel at all like Chris Thompson? Who?
No.
No?
No, he's better.
Okay.
He's a better version of Chris
Better
Thompson.
Yeah. All right. So your winners today, Jared Goff, the Saints defense, Devontae Adams, and Mark Ingram. And SeatGeek is absolutely a winner. Here's a true story. This happened 2 days ago. True story about SeatGeek, the ticket app that you need to have, and the promo code is FFT for $20 off your first purchase, FFT. So my friend sent me a text message. He asked me if I wanted to go to a Heat-Knicks game with him at Madison Square Garden. That's coming up at the end of the month, and I said, yeah, let's do it. Why not? So he sent me a screenshot of ticket prices from a ticket app that was not SeatGeek, because he's not the brightest guy, yeah, whatever. I told him, just give me a second. So I looked on my phone, I looked at the SeatGeek app, I'm not making any of this up. I found very, very similar seats, just a few rows away, basically. And they were $5 cheaper on SeatGeek. Not a huge deal, but still, $5 is $5. But then I said, you download the SeatGeek app, get those seats, and use the promo code FFT. All of a sudden, he saved $20 more. Now they're $15 cheaper per seat. So we got a better price, we got the discount, and we got the tickets immediately. We're going to the game. My brother, yesterday, just bought 4 tickets to a football game for this upcoming weekend. He uses SeatGeek, because I told him about it last month. He's used it 5 times already. He's already used the promo code, but he knows you go to SeatGeek, they look for more tickets, they save you time, and they still find you the best prices, even when you have used the promo code. So everybody, you have to use SeatGeek. It is the best ticket app, I promise. Use that code FFT for $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek finds you bargains. Start using it now. Download the SeatGeek app. And the promo code is FFT. All right, time for the losers. Don't tell my friend I didn't call. I called him not bright. Sorry about that.
Speaking of losers, I've got a SeatGeek story about my daughter's boyfriend.
Your daughter has a boyfriend, huh?
Well, you said losers, so no, that would never mean that.
What are you like? Nice, are you like?
My daughter wanted to buy him tickets for Christmas. He wanted tickets to some event in January.
Uh huh.
And I said, download the SeatGeek app. And she downloaded it. She said, Dad, how are the tickets so much cheaper here?
They really are. No, it's yep. Crazy. You got to use it. But what kind of a girlfriend's father are you? Like, are you protective? Are you a jerk? Are you intimidating?
Unpleasant. Unpleasant. Yeah.
Do you like? I want to ask if you like him.
Yeah, of course I like him. He's a very nice kid. I was just joking about the loser part. But I do give him a hard time regularly. I'm embarrassing.
But he knows you're giving him a hard time. You're busting his chops.
About half the time, he knows.
Okay. Oh, she must love that. What the hell happened to Marvin Jones, Heath? This to me was the biggest disappointment. There were some big disappointments. Maybe it was Fournette. But this was up there. Huge disappointment. One catch on two targets against the Browns.
I mean, what do you mean, what happened to Marvin Jones? We've seen this story before, haven't we? When everyone buys into Marvin Jones finally being the number one wide receiver on the Detroit Lions, and then he goes out and lays an egg. Part of what happened to Marvin Jones was Jason McCourty. He came back for the Browns, and I haven't seen the snap counts yet, but I'm going to assume that a majority of the time he was on Marvin Jones. But maybe, I guess the bigger thing was Matthew Stafford isn't going to force the ball to him. When there's matchups in better places on the field, Kenny Golladay is back. Golden Tate got by far the most targets. Eric Ebron caught a touchdown. There was no need to force him the ball.
Do you think that Marvin Jones is just a Week 10 loser, or, you know, this is a rest of season? Like, uh-oh.
I don't think Marvin Jones will be this bad rest of season. I guess what I would say is he lost some of our trust.
Okay.
We shouldn't be ranking him in the top 10, probably. There's not that type of floor.
Bilal Powell is a loser for you, Heath.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. And I every Sunday before the show, I put out my Believe It or Not tweets for the article for tomorrow. And I'm not so sure that Elijah McGuire is not the best Jets running back to own. He was more heavily used early in the game. He was way, way more heavily used in the passing game. I don't know what happened over the offseason to make them decide that Bilal Powell's not a pass-catching running back anymore.
Yeah. His whole career.
Because when Matt Forte was healthy, they threw the ball to Matt Forte. Now Matt Forte's out, and they're throwing the ball to Elijah McGuire. He had 7 targets, caught 4 passes. Bilal Powell had 2 balls thrown his way.
Yeah. They got a bye next week, so do you want to own either of these guys?
I'm probably more likely to hold on to them than Jordy.
Okay. All right, so that's Bilal Powell. Let's go to Jamie's losers. Melvin Gordon, speaking of disappointments, 16 carries for 27 yards, 5 catches for 15 yards at Jacksonville, and Austin Ekeler had the game of his life with 2 receiving touchdowns, 77 receiving yards. He also had 10 carries, 6 fewer than Gordon. What is your takeaway from Melvin Gordon's struggles this week?
I mean, look, he's going to be fine. It was just frustrating, you know, to see him only get the 16 carries when somebody else got 10, you know, right. A game that was competitive. And, you know, 5 catches on 8 targets. He was actually their target leader. So it's not like his workload was really that much different. It was just the production. So he'll be fine. And the schedule gets so much better for them moving forward. So I'm not really worried about him. It just was tough to watch that.
Yeah. You know, it's tough. Here we are. It's 8:35-ish p.m. on Sunday night. It's tough for my upset pick to come through when they fumble a freaking punt and give the Patriots good field
position.
It's
Rex Burkhead night.
Touchdown, Rex Burkhead. He's a weapon, man. He's a weapon. All right. And your other loser, Jamie, is Tyrod Taylor, who only threw 18 passes. This was a brutal game. He scored 2 points, and he had 27 rushing yards. So he scored none as a passer. He threw for 56 yards on 18 attempts, and this was coming off his best game, 30 points at the Jets. Can he rebound at the Chargers next week?
I think so. Going to be facing, you know, a guy he knows, Anthony Lynn, the new head coach there, who was a, you know, offense coordinator and interim head coach for Buffalo. But, it just, again, more just frustration.
Yeah. Yep.
Expecting more.
All right. So let's do some more observations from Week 10. This segment is called Adam Thielen is Greater Than Adam Azer. I'm just going to go ahead and stop doubting the... stop doubting the 2 wide receivers.
I got a question, Adam. Do you think Case Keenum can support 2 good wide receivers?
And the funny thing is, like, it wasn't even a good matchup. Like, this was a pretty good pass defense that did great against wide receivers. Josh Norman, I don't think, had a very good game. I didn't see all that much of it.
No, Stephon Diggs made him look silly.
And Thielen caught a touchdown. I mean, it was kind of zone coverage, but Norman was there. He tried to get a hand out and couldn't. That was Thielen's touchdown. 8 catches, 166 yards, and a touchdown on 12 targets. This is 2 monster games in a row for Thielen. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, Keenum, I guess he's playing well. This was an amazing game. He scored 32 fantasy points, tied with Jared Goff for number 1 this week. I don't know. Like, how much do you trust the Vikings passing offense?
Trust those 2 receivers.
Yeah. Rudolph
did. I think they're going to be fine next week against the Rams.
It's a home game. Rams are better in Los Angeles defensively. Okay. Yeah. You know what? You have to start them. What can I say at this point? Here's a segment called, well, didn't see that coming. And the first topic here is Kirk Cousins and Case Keenum. combining for 61 fantasy points in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. So yeah, anything you want to add on Keenum, who's 27% owned, and Cousins, who got me into a lot of hot water with the wife, because I told her to bench him for Eli Manning, and she was pissed at me the entire day. So, Cousins.
Eli was good.
That wasn't Cousins good. We lost, like 9 fantasy points on that little transaction.
Wow, wee. So you're still managing the team. That's
no,
good.
I didn't manage the team. I just.
You said we.
You just said we lost.
It was, we're in it together.
No, it's interesting. When it comes down to the car, it's her car. But the fantasy team, it's we.
Well, she's losing this week, so she lost 9 points. I will not
let me text Nanda right now.
Well, anyway, Cousins and Keenum, this was surprising. I mean, the score in this game was very surprising, Minnesota and Washington. Heath, what did you think about it?
I thought what Case Keenum did was, from a fantasy perspective, was more legit than what Kirk Cousins did. Listen, it's still, like, the touchdown pass that Cousins had was an amazing, amazing catch from a guy that literally the only words I heard somebody say in the green room, who the hell is Harris? And the room's never quiet, at least for the hour that I'm there each day. And nobody says a word because nobody knows. So I don't know. I don't like Jamie said, I'm not counting on him next week at New Orleans.
Who, Cousins?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just, you're saying it's not sustainable because he had 2 rushing touchdowns.
But he had 2 rushing touchdowns, and his only passing touchdown was an amazing catch.
I'm just wondering what set up the touchdowns, because I think he threw it down to the 1 yard line, you know, at least for one of them. He threw it to Vernon Davis, and he got down to the 1 yard line, then he ran it in. And Cousins, he gets you some rushing touchdowns. I mean, he kind of does that. Cousins has had a really nice year. His 2 like bad games recently were in the rain against the Cowboys, and then last week with no offensive line at Seattle.
Yeah, and the offensive line was healthier today. All 5 guys were back.
Yep.
Trent Williams played. Jameson Crowder played. So give him credit. I mean, I don't think I have Kirk Cousins in our podcast league. It's a 14-team league. I picked up Jay Cutler before seeing that Trent Williams was active. I was going to play Cutler, and then when I saw Trent Williams was active, I said, you know what? I'm gonna stick with Cousins. I'm not going to get away from Cousins next week, like to pick up Case Keenum, for example. I'm not going to make that transaction because I don't know if that's – to me, they're somewhat equal.
Fair. Yeah. And to clarify, it's Maurice Harris.
Okay. You think Kirk Cousins and Case Keenum are equal? You mean for next week?
For next week.
Okay. Keenum with the revenge game
against
the Rams.
By the way, just to let you know, Mr. Only Football Guy, Dave said when Harris caught the ball, he goes, is that Devin Harris? And he goes, wait, no, that's a basketball player.
Oh, Devin Harris, the point guard? Yeah.
Yes.
Is he still in the league?
Yes.
Yep.
Where is he playing? Brooklyn.
Dallas.
Still in Dallas.
Still in Dallas. Good for him. All right. Next on, well, I didn't see that coming. Melvin Gordon and Leonard Fournette combined for 7 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. Jamie, you think whatever for Melvin Gordon. What about Leonard Fournette with this terrible game against the Chargers, who I thought had a bad run defense? Maybe not.
I mean, look, it was a bad game. They went away from him completely almost in the fourth quarter, and they were using T.J. Yeldon in pass-catching situations. So I would imagine he bounces back next week against Cleveland, which their run defense that had been so, you know, good was a little bit leaky. You know, they were, at least at the halftime, they were giving up 8.9 yards per carry, and Amir Abdullah scored a touchdown, and Riddick caught a touchdown. So I'm not benching Leonard Fournette next week against the Browns.
And I would be a lot more concerned about Melvin Gordon if it wasn't for that fumble at the end of the game.
From Eckler?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he was outplayed by Eckler today.
It's weird day. And didn't see that come in. Amir Abdullah, you just mentioned it, Jamie. He scored in a tough matchup against the Browns. He had 11 carries for 52 yards and a touchdown. They ran very well against the Browns. I'll stick with Jamie here. Do you trust Amir Abdullah at Chicago next week?
Trust and Amir Abdullah are very hard to put in the same sentence. But the couple things that you have to buy into. One, sticking with him after the 2 fumbles last week in the red zone was good. Yards per carry, you know, nearly 5 yards per carry, you know, was like 4.8, is good. The fact that Taylor Decker played and this all happened is good. You know, so I think you could, you know, we were saying this going into the season, especially after Decker got hurt, was second half of the season for them. Now, we didn't think Cleveland, for example, would be a good run defense, and clearly they were not today. But I think you could look at it as he's someone that could potentially be a number two running back slash flex. And in a lot of cases, he has been. It just hasn't been. It's been like a poor man's Lamar Miller, you know, where he's gotten you 6 points, 7 points, whereas Miller has been 8 or 9. So now you could see a lot of work last week, touchdown. Not a lot of work, but led them in touches this week in terms of carries, touchdown. This is still a throwing offense. It's a team that relies on Matthew Stafford to carry them. But Abdullah, if they use him in the right spots, which is what he asked for going into last week, can potentially start to build off these strong performances.
Yeah, who would you guys rather have rest of season, Amir Abdullah or suddenly resurgent Isaiah Crowell? What do you think?
Probably Crowell.
That's a good question.
I think Crowell will do more in the passing game, not that he did today.
Yeah, I don't know that he will. Well, so he had 8 catches for 90 yards in his previous 2 games, Crowell, but Dave reminded me on the radio show last night that a lot of the catches in the last game against Minnesota in Week 8 came after Duke Johnson got hurt.
And then, he had a concussion, yeah.
Yeah, he went back to just 1 catch this week. But 16 carries, 90 yards, and a touchdown. And I don't know who's got a better schedule going forward. I will say Amir Abdullah does not have a good one.
Yeah, that's what I was just looking at. Neither of them have a good one. I like Crowell slightly better. And so I'll say Crowell.
Okay.
How about the Browns' offense looks better after Joe Thomas gets hurt?
Yeah, well, they also may have lost their quarterback. Sean Kizer left with an injury.
He came back.
He came back in?
Yep.
Okay. So he's back. Hooray. Good for him.
How about his brain fart? Did you see that?
Did he do that on his own?
Yeah, that's what all of his teammates were saying.
Oh,
at the end of the first half?
Gosh.
At the end of the first half, they had called a pass play because there was only like 15 seconds left and they had the ball at the 2. And he audibled to a quarterback sneak from the 2.
From the 2.
Got stood up and the clock ran out before they could run another play.
Oh, that was so embarrassing. Scott Hansen on NFL Red Zone goes, "Oh, my Browns," when that happened. It was very well said. Back to...
Just before you move on, so mm-hmm. I texted Nando. I said...
I really hate you.
In regards to Ali's fantasy team, Adam said, quote, "We lost 9 points today about Kirk Cousins versus Eli Manning." He texts back, "Ha, ha, 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 ha." And then he said he doesn't even realize he does it.
I knew what I was doing. I don't manage her team. She asked me for advice. I told her to sit Cousins and pick up Eli, all right? Like, come on. And I was bad. So there we go. Joke's on me. Hey, back to, well, I didn't see that coming in just a second. Because raise your hand if you're wearing MeUndies right now.
Yay.
Yeah, we all have our hand. All three of us.
Wearing MeUndies.
Okay. Clean sweep. I got them on, and we'll spare you the visuals, but I have 3 pairs of MeUndies underwear. They are incredible. Most comfortable underwear I've ever worn. They fit great. They look great. They feel great, and they're 3 times softer than cotton, which you didn't even know was possible. So listen, go to MeUndies.com/FFT for 20% off underwear and socks. I have got to get me the socks. 20% off MeUndies.com/FFT. Look, every year, millions of people get the least liked gift of all time this time of year, right? Underwear. We still give it to our family and our loved ones. They just don't want it. But it's not the underwear that's the problem. It's the kind of underwear. So MeUndies is the only underwear that makes for an amazing gift. Perfect for this time of year. It's a holiday miracle. Don't give underwear. Give MeUndies. And by the way, be selfish and get yourself some MeUndies. So get your exclusive 20% off the softest underwear and socks you'll ever wear this holiday season. Free shipping, 100% satisfaction guarantee, MeUndies.com/FFT. That's MeUndies.com/FFT. Yes, and I love to hear that you like MeUndies. We just don't want any pictures, but we want to know that you like it. All right, couple more. Didn't see that coming. Heath, didn't see that coming. Adrian Claiborne sacked Dak Prescott 6 times. And what I want to know is people out there might be thinking, oh, boy, Alfred Morris wasn't very good. Dak Prescott wasn't very good. Dez Bryant had a terrible game. It's all because they lost Zeke. What do you think?
I don't think it's all because they lost Zeke. I think it definitely had to do with their offensive line situation. I don't think Zeke's irrelevant either. I did put the question out there today whether or not the Cowboys offense is broken without Ezekiel Elliott. 59% said yes. 41% said no. This was a bad spot. It was a very important game for the Falcons in that building. Pass rush kind of snowballed on him a little bit. I'm not necessarily concerned about the Cowboys' rest of season.
Is there any doubt in your mind you'd take DeAndre Hopkins over Dez Bryant?
Zero.
Would you take Davante Adams over Dez Bryant rest of season?
No, but it's closer than DeAndre Hopkins is.
Okay. And finally, I'll go back to Heath. Heath didn't see that coming. Cameron Brate was terrible. One catch for 10 yards on 3 targets against the Jets.
Yeah, I think we need to probably chill out on the Cameron Brate hype until Jameis gets back.
Yeah, could be the case. I mean, he had about 60 yards each of the last 2 weeks, which is pretty good for a tight end. But this was really disappointing. It was a disappointing game. Thank goodness for garbage time and Robbie Anderson. All right, some news and notes for you. We're going to get into the games pretty soon. Mike Mitchell for Pittsburgh, their safety. He left with an ankle injury, and Joe Hayden broke his leg, and he's out indefinitely. So 2 injuries in the Steelers' secondary, and they're starting to show some cracks in the passing game defensively. Adam Jones for Cincinnati, their cornerback. He left. He was evaluated for a concussion. Jets cornerback Mo Claiborne, he played, but then he left. He re-aggravated his foot injury. Giants couldn't get any worse. They lost 2 offensive linemen and their defensive tackle, Snacks Harrison. Sterling Shepard, it seems fine. May have injured his hamstring, but he's fine. Brett Hundley hurt his hamstring, but he played through it. Jacoby Brissett is in the concussion protocol. And Sean Lee, Dallas middle linebacker, he left with a hamstring injury in the first quarter, and ESPN.com had this stat. After Lee went out, the Cowboys allowed 45 rushing yards on 9 carries in the first half. After he went out. So he obviously makes a difference. And Will Fuller left with injured ribs. A quick look
at Jay Ajayi next week.
Against who, the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We got Eagles-Cowboys next week?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is that Sunday night?
Oh, Sunday night.
Sunday night. Love it. Almost as much as I love. Oh, it's 14-3. What the hell happened? Who scored?
Deion Lewis, kickoff return.
A kickoff return? Special teams, Broncos. Special teams. You're letting me down. Well, don't worry about it. It's in the hands of Brock Osweiler. All right. So anyway, top 5 quarterbacks this week, as we'll do this quickly here. Keenum, Goff, Cousins, Beathard, and Stafford. Heath, your reaction to Keenum, Goff, Cousins, Beathard, and Stafford.
I was impressed with Beathard. There's a guy that does not want to lose his job, doesn't want Jimmy Garoppolo era to start quite yet, played very well. Also, your Giants are a complete embarrassment to the game of football.
So bad. Alex
DJ Beathard screwed up the 49ers.
Yeah, I know. Giants are in line for the number 2 pick now. I just need the Browns to win. Beathard, they're on a bye. And then there was a report that Garoppolo might start playing in week 12 against Seattle.
He has to.
Yeah, so you can't go out and pick up Beathard.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Giants, it's Kansas City. It's Andy Reid. Coming off a bye, and it's Kansas City facing the Giants, setting up for a nice Alex Smith day.
It's also 2017, so you know what's going to happen.
The complete opposite?
I'm taking the Giants money line.
Jamie, top 5 running backs. Ingram, DeMarco Murray, 2 rushing, 1 receiving touchdown. Austin Eckler, Alvin Kamara, and Isaiah Crowell. Ingram, Murray, Eckler, Kamara, Crowell.
They are not running the ball with the same success, but DeMarco Murray still giving you good fantasy production. So you got to be, relatively excited about that as the DeMarco Murray owner. So, Keith, I thought you said it best on our show today. It would be nice if they just sat him to make sure he's healthy, but until he gives you reason to sit him, the Titans are going to continue to lean on him.
But this was the first week he was off the injury report, right?
Well, he was hurt going into the week.
Yeah.
And I believe he was limited on Wednesday.
Okay.
It was full on Wednesday. I don't know.
One of the takeaways, though, just you look back to last week, and you saw that goal line touchdown by Derrick Henry. Ingram, or what the heck's his name? What's wrong with me? Murray.
DeMarco Murray.
Yeah. He was hurt during that play. He was off the field getting looked at. So he didn't lose that job. That was nice to see.
No. He's never lost a job. He's just been, they've been sharing touches. I mean, even today, Henry had, 11 carries?
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah, 11 carries, 52 yards. He actually ran better.
He did, but of course, you get the goal line carry. Sometimes it hurts your yards per carry. All right, Jamie, I'll give you the wide receivers. Top 5 wide receivers this week. Robert Woods, Adam Thielen, AJ Green, Chester Rogers. And then we had a 5-way tie for 5th. Golden Tate, Marquise Goodwin, Brandon LaFell, Davante Adams, and Juju Smith-Schuster.
You can just give us number 5.
Smith-Schuster still play well?
Yeah, that was nice. 97 yards and a touchdown for Smith-Schuster.
He's good. He's good. AJ Green, one big play. Same thing with Brandon LaFell. I don't know if LaFell's going to excite anybody, especially they have to face Denver next week. But good to see AJ Green bounce back after he, tried to prove he's an MMA fighter against Jalen Ramsey.
So are you aware of the whole Steelers touchdown celebration thing with the AJ Green?
That's awesome.
Well, I didn't see what they did.
It was poorly executed. They tried to have Antonio Brown choke Juju Smith-Schuster to basically imitate AJ Green, but it was just a complete debacle.
No.
And props to the Vikings for the leapfrog. That was
That was funny.
That was excellent. How about two USC wide receivers, by the way? The USC wide receivers notoriously terrible in the NFL, but Juju and Robert Woods tearing it up.
Yep.
And Heath, our top five tight ends for Week 10, a couple of them from Thursday. Jimmy Graham, Garrett Celek, Jermaine Gresham, Austin Hooper getting the targets lately, and Trey Edmonds, who is also a running back and had 9 carries for 48 yards and a touchdown for the Saints. He doesn't really count. So we'll go with Evan Engram and Eric Ebron. They had 9 fantasy points. So you got Garrett Celek in there. You got Hooper. You got Engram. You got Ebron. What do you got?
We got a disgusting position. It's like catcher in fantasy baseball at this point. But I was glad to see that Celek and Ebron came through against the matchups, because that's what we're kind of left with at this point. If you don't have one of the top 4 or 5 tight ends, you just hope that the guys playing against the great matchups score a touchdown.
And look, good job in PPR leagues for Vernon Davis, 7 for 76. Yeah. That was a great game. Delanie Walker, 6 for 63. Got banged up again, but great game. Jason Witten, 7 for 59. Those are good tight end games in PPR, so give those guys credit too.
I'm going to say something, Heath. You ready? Let's fight about this.
Good.
I think this is one of the best tight end years I've ever seen. I think it's a really good position, what we usually have at tight end.
You're kidding me.
No. And I base that on the fact that I can't trade tight ends. Because, look, Cameron Brate was bad this week, and maybe we do have to take a step back. But Charles Clay didn't do anything this week. He should hopefully get better. It was an awful day for Tyrod Taylor. He didn't even throw for 60 yards. You had Ertz on a bye. You had Kelsey on a bye this week.
Right. You've got Gronk, Ertz, Kelsey, and Jimmy Graham.
Right.
That's it.
If the Redskins have one guy, I trust that guy. I think Evan Engram is very trustworthy. I actually think it's pretty good. Delanie Walker is like, he's like 3 weeks in a row now. He's really good in PPR. He's not scoring, but good in PPR.
We've lost Delanie Walker for the most part.
No,
we lost Greg Olsen.
Reliable
completely.
In PPR.
We've lost Jordan Reed, except he comes back every couple of weeks and runs it for Vernon Davis.
Well, you have to say that Cameron Brate's had a good year.
Yeah.
Cameron Brate had a very good first half of the year. I think he's done.
Maybe because of the injury, but Safarian Jenkins, 6 for 67 this week.
That's another good, yeah.
I actually think it's been a better year. I mean, there have been some really good waiver wire pickups. Jack Doyle had a horrible game, but he entered this week one catch behind. I think he's probably leading all tight ends
in catches
now.
Okay, are we talking? I don't think it's been a bad year for PPR, because Austin Seferian Jenkins has those 4-catch 30-yard games that turn out to be halfway useful. But
I
will by Tuesday have run some numbers, and I will confirm whether you are correct or wrong in terms of tight end fantasy points per game.
Okay, actually, I'm interested, because I think it's been I think it's been pretty good. All right, let's go to the games. Atlanta 27 and Dallas 7, and I think we kind of covered it. But why don't we talk about the running backs? Why don't we talk about the Cowboys running backs? Alf had 11 for 53. They were trailing in this game, so Jamie told us before the show, Rod Smith outsnapped Alfred Morris by a ton. He had like 15 more snaps.
And he might be good in PPR leagues.
4 catches for 15 yards. I'm not discouraged by Alfred Morris, though. I really think Tyron Smith's going to make a huge difference if he comes back next week. What do you think?
Agree.
Oh, I'm not discouraged by Alf at all. In fact, if somebody – now, the disappointing part is that next week he gets the Eagles, who have been very good against the run.
Yeah.
If they have Smith back, though, he'll still be in the number 2 conversation.
Yes. Now, after that, I think the schedule gets a little bit better. I think he is a fine person to try to acquire this week as a sort of a buy low.
And then after this week, they have 2 Thursday games in a row, Thanksgiving, yep. And then the week after another Thursday game.
And then they get the Giants, who will have probably like 6 players left on the team by then.
That could be Zeke, though.
Could be. Who knows?
Could it?
That's 4 games. That's 4 weeks, right?
The next legal thing is December 1st, which is after the following Thursday game.
Right. Any concerns long-term about Dez or Julio, who both disappointed today?
Oh, I'm concerned about Dez.
I think if you're concerned about Dez, not you in particular, Heath, but it, as a fantasy player, you're concerned about Dak, too.
And I'm not concerned about that.
The only thing is, like, Dak can run it in. Dak can throw a screen pass for a touchdown. Dak's been a very good fantasy producer this year.
Yeah, but, I mean, Dez, you know, he's had the touchdown game. Look, Dez has been disappointing. There's no doubt about it. But I think for Dak to be next level good, he needs Dez to be at least better than what he's been.
Jamie, guess who just caught, like, a 30-yard pass for the Patriots?
Rex Burkhead.
Martellus Bennett.
Nice. Touchdown? Wow.
Nah. All right, let's move on to our next game. Julio, okay, I'm sorry. Is Julio Jones still a top five wide receiver?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tennessee 24 and Cincinnati 20. Heath, what's your big takeaway from this game?
I still believe it's coming for Corey Davis. He got 10 targets in this game, had an almost touchdown. I believe it's coming.
He also had a fumble, unfortunately, but he led the team in targets.
That was the same play as the almost touchdown.
The fumble?
He fumbled it out.
He was going into the end zone.
Right. Yes. I think Mariota. Oh, I mean, Mariota. You want to talk about somebody who almost had a huge game? He came a half a yard short of a rushing touchdown. Rishard Matthews dropped what probably should have been a touchdown, wide open. And then you just talked about the Corey Davis play. So, and he ran. You know, he ran for 51 yards. He had run for 6 yards in his previous three games. I thought it was. I was happy. That we saw.
Oh yeah,
he played great. This is going to be an interesting test for him Thursday night on the road at Pittsburgh.
I think there's still one more week left in the buy low on Mariota window because nobody's going to want to start him at Pittsburgh. And then after that, the schedule turns beautiful.
And he didn't have a 20-point day. You know, he was one point short. So people look at that too and say, well, maybe he's not there yet.
What do you think about Joe Mixon, guys? He's, I guess, sort of like Lamar Miller. You know, he gets you around 8 to 10 fantasy points. It's not pretty. But can we rely on him, or would you try to get whatever you can for him right now, Joe Mixon?
I don't think you're going to get a lot for him. I actually had an offer for about 20 minutes that I mulled over, but the guy pulled it back, which I regret not taking it in those 20 minutes. It was Joe Mixon for Marvin Jones. And I thought I needed Marvin Jones this week, so why I was hesitant. I think Mixon, Dalton, everybody for the Bengals outside of A.J. Green is kind of matchup dependent. When you know they're going to have a tough matchup, you sort of want to dial back expectations, and next week they got to play Denver. So Mixon probably going to struggle, depending on what happens with Denver coming out of this game. And Dalton's been the same way. Favorable matchup like he had today. If he didn't have the two fumbles, he would have been a top five quarterback.
Yeah.
Top 10.
Top 10, maybe, yeah. He had 18 fantasy points, so he would have had 22. So you would rather have Mixon than Marvin Jones rest of season?
For me, it was position specific. I lost Ezekiel Elliott and I have, you know, four good receivers. But again, I thought I needed Marvin Jones for this week.
I got you.
I traded Juju for Joe Mixon a week ago and not feeling as good about that anymore.
How you feeling about our LeSean McCoy for AJ or AJ Green for LeSean McCoy trade?
Fine.
Yeah, me too. Cause I think, you know, McCoy was going to have a good game, but they just got slaughtered. And then, Green, this was a great matchup for him. He's got tough ones coming up at Denver next week. Then Cleveland should be good. Then Pittsburgh, well, maybe not so bad anymore. Chicago at Minnesota. Like we know he had a tough schedule. All right, moving on to our next game. Detroit 38 and Cleveland 24. And we talked about Isaiah Crowell, Matthew Stafford, slow start for him, but thank goodness there are two halves. He had 26 fantasy points. I don't know. Is there anything we didn't cover from this game? Did you talk about Eric Ebron, Heath, when we talked about the tight ends?
Yeah, I mean, he only had three targets. It was just one of those things. Everybody scores against the Browns, and so did Eric Ebron. I wouldn't call this game encouraging.
Am I missing anything that we need to cover here? I don't think so. We covered Abdullah. We covered Marvin Jones. Hooray for Matt Stafford. What do you think about this upcoming schedule for Stafford? At the Bears, Minnesota, at Baltimore.
Not great.
No, but he's one of those guys that's playing so well. Like, think about what he did against Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, he's just playing so well, and they're throwing so much. I think he could be an 18 to 20-point guy in the bad matchups and a 22 to 25 guy or more in the good matchups.
Okay.
Like, I'm not sitting him next week at Chicago.
Minnesota 38, Washington 30. I sang it for some reason. Oh, the running backs in this game. Latavius Murray who's 66% owned, had 17 carries for 68 yards and a touchdown. It was a disappointing game from Jerick McKinnon, who had been amazing in three of his last four games. 10 carries for 32 yards, two catches. How concerned?
Lowest touches for him since Dalvin Cook got hurt.
Now, you know what? Not as many as Latavius. But he had so Jerick McKinnon had been between 14 and 16 carries in each of his four previous games, each of his last four games. The bottom line is, and this is maybe another reason why I had trouble accepting Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, they had been running the ball so much. Today, they ran the ball a lot. Oh, gosh, Keenum only threw 29 passes, and what a game he had. Except those interceptions were terrible, but sorry, I digress. Yeah, McKinnon had been getting about 15 carries a game. He got 10 today with two catches. And Murray got the goal line work, but McKinnon did get work inside the 10. He just didn't get work at like the 1 or the 2. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Jamie? I think when people are going to go away from McKinnon, he's going to come back and have a strong game. He's still the better of the two for me.
You definitely want McKinnon any game where they may be chasing the score. He needs that passing game production to be good.
Latavius Murray, this is the at least eyeball test for me. This is the best he looked in terms of his like
yes
running. So maybe the bye week helped that ankle and he's getting healthier.
Yeah, sometimes that happens with the bye week. It's a good call. Who would you rather pick up, Latavius Murray, who's 66% on, I think I said, or Jamal Williams, the Packers?
I think Murray just because of offense.
Yep.
Murray? Okay.
They're both probably going to get the same amount of touches.
How excited are you about Jamison Crowder, 39% owned?
More excited in PPR than I am in standard, but he's gonna be one of the most added players, and he should be.
You know who had zero targets in this game?
Terrell Pryor. Okay, Saints 47.
And Josh Doctson was a couple like feet away from like two huge touchdowns.
Every game with him. Big play guy. All right, New Orleans 47 and Buffalo 10. The Saints had the ball for 41 minutes and 23 seconds. This was complete domination, and we've discussed the running backs. We spent a lot of time on Drew Brees. Nice to see Michael Thomas with 117 yards. First game with more than 89 yards this year. Still can't find that end zone. Kelvin Benjamin, you make anything of this? He did lead the team in catches, yards, and targets, but it was 3 for 42 on 6 targets, Heath. What do you think about Kelvin? What do you think about Charles Clay?
I thought it was encouraging that he got 6 targets in his first game. I wasn't sure that he would be that involved. They tried to get him involved very early. It wasn't a situation where he was just there in the red zone or anything like that. So I think it should be a good sign moving forward. Jamie called it earlier in the week that this could be a shake the rust off game for Charles Clay. I'm going to assume that's what it was. If I'm concerned about anything, it's LeSean McCoy and his work in the passing game, because he has seen his targets and his receptions and his production in the passing game go down over the last month of the season. And I don't expect that Kelvin Benjamin being there is going to help that any.
Okay. We go to Jacksonville 20 and the Chargers 17. A fun finish. Wild, sloppy, unpredictable, but fun. But the Jaguars come out on top 20-17. And we discussed both running backs in this game. We're not super worried about Melvin Gordon or Leonard Fournette. And Rivers scored, I think, 23 fantasy points against the Broncos in the first game. 19 fantasy points against the Jaguars, which is pretty damn good. He's just kind of hard to predict, I feel, Jamie, Philip Rivers. It's tough to predict.
You know, Pete Prisco called this one. He said that he's got such a great history against the Jaguars that he would play well. And give him credit, he played well. You know, I mean, he's one of these guys that, I don't want to say like Russell Wilson or even like Jared Goff, where there's not a dominant receiver on the field and he just gets his numbers. But, you know, Eckler with the two touchdowns, you know, this is the way Rivers has been playing this year. It was Travis Benjamin a couple weeks ago. So give him credit. This wasn't a great fantasy day, but it was much better than I thought it would be. You know, the fact that he got you multiple touchdowns, the interception was fluky at the end. It was a bad throw by him.
What a catch by Boye.
It was. I guess my biggest question from this game is, do we have to wait another year for Ladarius Green to take over for Antonio Gates?
Okay, so I know we're probably going to be a little forgiving of Keenan Allen, even though it's 5 bad games in a row for him. We knew it was a tough matchup. Are we going to be forgiving of Hunter Henry, 1 catch for 7 yards on 2 targets?
I just expressed my disgust.
I know,
it's not
I'm
about
upset.
Hunter Henry. I'm not disappointed in Hunter Henry. I have no hard feelings towards Hunter Henry. It's whoever is making the decision to not throw the ball to Hunter Henry.
Well, that would be Philip Rivers. But you just want him more involved, going out for more routes and such.
Yeah, and that's not happening. I will, on a positive note, Get ready to see me write nice words about Blake Bortles heading into week 11. He will be my, most likely my number one streamer heading into week 11.
All right. At Cleveland. And Marquise Lee is another USC wide receiver who's having a big year. Juju, Lee, and Woods. Big time stuff.
It's funny. I was excited about Marquise Lee, and then I kind of dialed back expectations for the week. Not about picking him up. I mean, we talked about it on waivers, but I originally had him in my top 24 and then, dropped him down. But, I wonder if Hayward getting hurt in that game helped Marquise Lee. I don't know if Hayward came back after he was getting checked out.
Yeah.
All right, Green Bay 23, Chicago 16. We'll go a little faster here. Try to get this show done in the next few minutes. Green Bay 23, Chicago 16. Any long-term concerns about Jordan Howard, who had 15 carries for 54 yards? And just like Kareem Hunt, I believe they both have gone five games in a row without scoring a touchdown. Jordan Howard.
Nope.
Okay. Hey, people, please, drop Tariq Cohen. What are you doing? He's 81% owned. He doesn't even catch passes anymore. Let's just stop. Pittsburgh 20, Indianapolis 17.
Well, I will back up 1 second. Take a look at Dontrell Inman. Remember, they traded for him. Good led call. The team in targets with 8. Trubisky played okay in this game.
Good call, Jamie. Jamie, what do you think about Ben Roethlisberger? 21 fantasy points, slow start, only threw 31 passes, and they were trailing in this game. But I don't know. Can we get more than 21 fantasy points from this guy?
It'll be interesting Thursday night against the Titans. You know, Andy Dalton just lit them up. They're still their back end of that defense, not very good for Tennessee. And I think Roethlisberger will be at least this. So my guess is this is kind of what the floor is moving forward. At least that's the hope. How many times though are we going to expect him to get 20 more fantasy points with Antonio Brown doing next to nothing? So imagine when he gets that guy going.
Yeah, that's right. Brown had a bad game. Smith-Schuster had a good game. I'm watching this game right now. I think I made a huge mistake dropping Rex Burkhead last night because they just lined him up at the goal line on second and goal. All right, anyway, he's going to be an
interesting
guy.
Gilsey was an active for this game.
He was. Wow.
Yep.
Interesting.
Made a huge mistake.
I screwed that. I picked up Danny Woodhead and dropped Burkhead, but might have been a big mistake. It's weird. Brissett is starting to play well. Three games in a row with multiple touchdown passes. I hope he's okay. I hope he doesn't miss a game with a concussion. But T.Y. Hilton did nothing. Chester Rogers and Dante Moncrief with huge plays, and Hilton does nothing. So that's frustrating.
Not just Hilton does nothing, but Doyle did nothing. Mack did nothing.
Yeah, two catches for Doyle on 5 targets. Tampa Bay 15 and the Jets 10. Do you guys feel
good? Just keep in mind the Colts are on a bye next week. I know you said it with the bye teams, but... You know, in terms of picking up guys from the Colts.
Do you feel good about Robbie Anderson, or do you feel like it's been too good to be true? It's 4 straight games with a touchdown.
I feel great about Robbie Anderson.
I don't think he's going to score a touchdown every week, but I think he's a solid number 2.
All right.
I mean, if you were to say 7 targets, look, it was basically the same play. McCown tried to hit him, you know, down the field. He overthrew him on one. Grimes made an interception. He hits him for a touchdown on another play.
And he had another one where he only got 1 foot in on that. Another, he had an almost touchdown on that same play. They ran that play 3 times.
Look at the targets for them. 7 for Anderson, 9 for Safarian Jenkins, 7 for McGuire, 8 for Kearse. That's kind of what it's going to be almost every game for them, with just take out McGuire and put in Forte if he's healthy.
Would you rather have Robbie Anderson or DeSean Jackson rest of season?
Anderson.
Robbie.
Jordy Nelson or Robbie Anderson?
Anderson easily.
Devontae Adams or Robbie Anderson?
Anderson.
Wow. Okay. All right. Oh, bonanza! I think I'm counting it. San Francisco.
No. Why does it even matter? What does it even matter if you're counting it? You've already backed out of doing the challenge when you were supposed to.
Thank you for bringing that up. Got an email. Let me see if I can find it. I believe.
But why? I understand. Why can't you count this one?
Of course, it's a successful one. Right?
Yeah. You don't think so, Heath?
I don't think we're. The challenge isn't on anymore.
Heath, here it is.
He refused to do the challenge.
No.
So it's
I'm not talking about the challenge, but I think he gets credit for the bonanza.
Wait. Justin Lockwood sent me an email. He says, Adam, you guys seem to be forgetting that Jamie clearly said to you, quote, if Zeke plays this week, you don't have to do the Bean Boozled. And then Zeke played that week.
That was last week.
No, it was 2 weeks ago. No, it was last week. Right. And Zeke played.
2 weeks ago is when you didn't do a bonanza. Last week you got it right, and then you never had us do the Bean Boozle.
Yeah, Jamie did it.
He likes the Bean Boozle.
I did it for the start of the week.
All right, well, it doesn't matter. Bottom line is
the entire game's over.
The Bean Boozle, yes, the challenge is over, but the bonanza was correct. I'm on a 3-game winning streak.
No, two games ago you didn't even pick one.
Okay, but I've gotten three picks in a row, correct?
No, it doesn't count.
Fine, I'm on a 4-week unbeaten streak.
I'll stand by what I said. You got the bonanza right. You've picked three in a row. You weaseled out of that one that week by not picking one, so you should have had to do a bean boozle that week. But you have been correct, and every week that you have picked a bonanza, you've gotten your bonanza right.
I never knew the rule. I would have picked one. Hey, Arlen's Darkwa. How much do you guys
buy? The streak is over.
I know. He got 10 fantasy points because he got a 2-point conversion, but he did not get 100 yards or a touchdown. That's 25 yeah. weeks in a row or four? 24 or five?
24. You know, what's funny was because I thought maybe Shane Vereen would score, maybe Gallman would score. Darkwa played well. I mean, it's hard to argue with it. You know, he had 88 total yards.
Yeah.
He had a 2-point conversion as well. So that counts, right?
Yep. Now, he did get in the end zone, JB. That, you know. So
I guess,
that.
You know, I can go back and look and just make sure it's 10 running back getting 10 fantasy points.
Yeah,
that
sure.
That would be accurate.
There you go. All right, so Darkwa.
But the other streak continues.
Look, they're actually surprisingly running the ball fairly well. It's weird. And the Chiefs next week might be another week to start Orleans.
Oh, Darkwa's a must start.
But they lost two offensive linemen. We got to check on Fluker and Pugh.
I'm telling you, the Giants are going to beat the Chiefs next week.
No chance. No way. No yep. way. They have no pride. Oh. Like they're Janoris Jenkins was playing right, at half speed.
Here's your bean boozle bet.
Oh, please. Oh, awful. Okay. Rams 33, Houston 7. Just give me a final thought on this game, Heath. Take it away.
Sell.
On the Rams?
Yep.
Not Gurley.
Well, I mean, Gurley had a good day. He had 12 fantasy points.
He had six catches, though. He had a huge
PPR
game. That's
fine. Yeah.
He had what, 136 total yards? It's pretty good.
He was very good. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, Sammy Watkins, I don't buy this. Robert Woods, I don't buy this. And Jared Goff has a very difficult schedule.
Yeah. All right, well, that's a fun show. Thank you, everybody. That's Week 10 for you. Didn't see that coming. That's the theme of Week 10. Giants are going to beat the Chiefs next week. And we got some time left. Broncos are going to come back and win this game. For Jamie and Heath, I'm Adam. See you later.
Bye.